And it's interesting. Peter's unique in the writers of the New Testament. He uses the word wicked to define wicked men. In 2 Peter, the word asthemos, it means those who break through the restraint of the law to gratify their own lust. It's kind of a lot of what I want to talk about today. We sang the scripture song this morning, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths." That's also what I want to talk about. Because as we survey the history of mankind, we see him constantly changing rules and adjusting principles and redefining morality in order to satisfy his rebellious bent towards self-gratification. From Satan's initial, "Hath God said," to the modern concepts of antinomianism and Reformed theology, mankind has been ever diligent in blurring the line between truth and error.
Yes.
Moving the mark of righteousness and morality and discounting the standards of law and grace. You know, the two are not mutually exclusive, by the way. Well, God has a standard that will not be moved. God has a line that will not be blurred. It's been said that God created man in His own image, and man returned the favor. Today I want to look at this idea of man's dubious predilections for adjusting God's standards and the inevitable consequences of changing God's mind. How often men change God's mind for Him? Let's turn, if we will, to Amos chapter 7. In Amos chapter 7, we see God here giving Amos a vision. And beginning in verse 7, the Bible says, Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in His hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Then answered Amos, and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, Go, prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask You, Lord, to open Your Word to us and to reveal Your principles, Your precepts, to reveal Your mind to us this morning, Father, as we search Your Word. We thank You in Jesus' name. Now what we have here, I couldn't actually find a plumb bob. I didn't have one. They're kind of expensive. And I asked around and nobody had one. So I made a plumb line similar to the one my grandfather used to make. He put a little nut on the end of a string and kind of hang it. So what you see here is a plumb line. You ask, well, what's a plumb line for? What does it do? We're going to answer that. Just hang it there. A plumb line is a weight to measure straightness. It's also associated with the idea of narrowness. Okay? Remember Jesus talking about straight is the gate and narrow the way. It's talking about a straight and narrowness. You know, that's the only way that the line is going to be marked. That's the only way to see plumb straight up and down. For our purposes here this morning, we're going to just stick to the theorems of plane geometry, you know, two-dimensional. And we're going to say that the closest distance between two points is a straight line. Any divergence from that straight and narrow way increases the distance to the destination. And indeed, it makes really the destination inaccessible at the end point.
Right.
You see? If I move this plumb line over this way, well, where it was pointing originally, it's not there anymore. Right? That's my point. Amos talks about this plumb line, God's plumb line. It's like a moral compass.
Yes.
Keeps you on the straight and narrow. But it also reveals divergence. Because if this pulpit's not straight, and you hang that plumb line on the edge of this, it's going to reveal that it's not straight. It's going to show it. Not only does it guide us in our building to make sure that things get straight, but it also reveals when something's not straight. So we're going to talk about these plumb line principles this morning. Laws and absolutes of God. You know, every form of government, every organized society, every kingdom has laws and absolutes which define the principles and nature of that government.
Right.
Every one of them. The infringement of which the laws, the infringement of those laws which bears specific consequences. It's always that way. Every government has laws. God's government is no exception.
Right.
You know, I've heard many say, there are no absolutes. So are you absolutely sure about that? Is that an absolute, that there are no absolutes? Of course there are absolutes. And I want to look here in this text at Amos of five principles that are relevant to the church this morning. Number one, God holds the plumb line.
Amen.
Nobody else. God holds the plumb line.
Yes.
That's the plumb line we're going to be looking at. Number two, the plumb line has been set. Okay? There's no debating the standards. The standards are set. They're there. They're fixed. They're immovable. Number three, ignoring the plumb line leads to destruction. Every time. Ignoring the plumb line leads to destruction. If you ignore the laws of the state of Missouri and drive 95 miles an hour down the highway, guess what? There's going to be consequences. Number four, wicked men dismiss the plumb line. Count it as just completely dismiss it. It's unimportant. And five, those who refuse to hear author their own destruction. The plumb line's there. The standard's there and it's fixed. It's available for all to see and all to embrace. And those who refuse to embrace that plumb line author their own destruction. Isaiah said, judgment also will I lay to the line. And righteousness to the plummet, the plumb line. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. Judgment, righteousness. This is the ideas that I'm trying to convey this morning. When these principles are not observed. Famine is the inevitable consequence. When these principles are not observed, the land becomes polluted and defiled, desecrated. And famine is the ultimate inevitable consequence. Whether you make grace irresistible or whether you turn it into lasciviousness, you defile the land. Either way. Try to make grace something greater than it is, or try to make grace inconsequential. You've defiled the land. Whether you reject the truth or tweak it to your own liking, your house is left unto you desolate.
Right.
It's not going to stand. It's not built according to the plumb line. Behold, Amos says in the next chapter, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Are you diligent to pay attention to the plumb line? To look at the line, to make sure, to examine yourself, to stand next to the line, to make sure that you're straight? When the plumb line is rejected, nourishment is withheld. God's not going to do anything with you.
Right.
God's not going to feed you. God's not going to send you manna from heaven while you're rejecting or distorting the plumb line. Right. While you're building your house on a faulty foundation at an angle. It's not going to work. There's no escape from this. There's no escape for those who tamper with the plumb line.
Right.
You're not going to get away. In the following chapter, chapter 9, Amos says, though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them. And I will set mine eyes upon them for evil and not for good. God doesn't like people tampering with His plumb line.
Right.
You better get it straight. Not according to our own devices and the way we think. Oh, I think it ought to be this way. I think it ought to be this way. No, God has set up a standard and a pattern. God has set up and stood upon the wall. And we're going to get to what that wall means too. God has set it up. And He doesn't appreciate people tampering with His straightness. This is no light matter.
Right.
Regardless of the extreme, regardless of which way you take it, there is no help for a rejecter of truth. Some are completely oblivious to the line at all. Some completely ignore it. And then there are some that presume to make it straighter. You going to make that line straighter? I don't think that's possible.
No.
There are some that do. Some presume to make it straighter. Some ignore it altogether. But they don't hold the line. God holds the line.
Right.
Thus He showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in His hand. Oh. Nobody's going to tamper with that. The wall. That which was built according to the plumb line.
Right.
Okay? Built on the foundations of righteousness, God's holy standards of justice. This is the plumb line we're talking about. And there's a wall that's built according to those things. Because God is just, He has a standard. He doesn't waver from His standard. He doesn't turn, He doesn't make exceptions. Say, oh, well, okay, we'll ignore that commandment today. We'll ignore that principle this today. He doesn't do that.
Right.
He has a standard. He's unwavering. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. It's in Proverbs chapter 10. The word of the Lord, that is this measure of holiness. We don't need to decide the properties of holiness, the principles of holiness. It's a good thing. We don't need to do that. The Bible has already established that. It's already set it forward. It's already set it up. It's already established its standard. We don't go tampering with holiness. This wall. Amos here is talking about Israel. God's holding up the plumb line, standing on the wall, checking this thing. Uh-oh, Israel's found wanting. Israel's a bit crooked. But let's look at this thing from our perspective. Let's look at this thing for our purposes today as the solidity of the real church. That's what this wall is. God stands upon the wall, holding the plumb line.
Right.
So, does the wall hold up to the scrutiny of the plumb line? Does the wall hold up as God standing upon it with His plumb line? Israel rejected the plumb line. Israel rejected God's plummet. And guess what? They went into captivity.
Yes.
It's not something I'd like to do. It's not something on my mind and my thoughts wanting to do. Going into captivity. Who wants to go into captivity? No, we don't want to go into captivity. Let's stand firm as the church. So how does the church measure up? As God stands upon it holding His plumb line. You know, He's checking every brick.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a real straight wall and a brick out of kilter. I wonder what He's going to do. Oh, we'll just leave it. No, that brick's got to be set. Are you an Amaziah who diverts correction, who resists the plumb line of God's Word, who tears at the wall with every breath? Are you the foolish woman that plucketh it down with her own hands? Or are you an Amos who embraces the plumb line, who strengthens the wall, who encourages His children to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? Are you the wise woman that buildeth the house according to God's pattern?
Good.
God has established the church as a paragon of righteousness. We are to be the representatives of Christ on earth.
Yes.
That's our purpose. We represent Him. This line. Nothing else. We represent the line. His plumb line. Not our twistings of it. I think I'll just pull it over this way just a little bit. That's not too far off, is it? Now, do we just move it over just a tad? That's not too far off. And it's still straight from here down. Yeah. Try that. We are to be righteous, adhering to the straightness of that line.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about righteous. We are to be that. And here's something that we might want to ponder. Think about this. Do we obey God because we're Christians? Or are we Christians because we obey God? Do we live according to the dictates of righteousness because we are righteous? Or are we righteous because we live according to the dictates of righteousness?
Yeah.
I think that's very subtle. And it is. But think about it. One way you be righteous. The other way you just define yourself as righteous, however you want to make that. It doesn't matter how far away you pull this line. There, now I'm righteous. No, you're not. The real church is that wall of righteousness conforming to the plumb line. that which does not conform, listen, that which does not conform to the plumb line is false.
Right.
It's easy. Oh, okay. That's straight. That's straight. No, that's crooked. That which does not conform to the line is false. And to the chagrin of many an antinomian, Christ's righteousness, Christ's straightness, Christ's performance and obedience is not going to be imputed to them on the day of judgment. I'm sorry.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
You have to be straight.
Right.
We are required to perform according to the standards of Scripture.
Amen.
According to the plumb line. And according to our several ability. Small qualification there. Not all of us are going to have the same length of plumb line. You understand that. But it's got to be straight! Now here's the question. Can we make that line straighter?
No.
Can we work with God and make it straighter than He's made it? Has He made us more intelligent than the apostles? And we can even straighten this line out, pull it even tighter. You lay your hand on that line and you've made it crooked. There are thousands, there are many, there are people all over that believe that God's plumb line has a few knots in it. It's a little bit skewed up until a certain point, and then it gets straight, about right here. Then it gets kind of straight. People that believe that.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, Brother Jeff? People believe that the beginning of God's law, the beginning of God's concept, the beginning of God's word, the beginning of God's plumb line, that He didn't start from a straight point. So then He's got to come back around, untie the knots in His own law, untie the knots in His own plumb line, and try to get it hanging straight somewhere down the line.
Yeah.
Somewhere around the, you know, first to the first, second, third part of the century, something, you know, where, you know, they draw the line in so many different places, who knows where they decide to get straight or not. Know when Jesus was born, know when He was baptized, know when He was crucified, know when He was resurrected. I mean, they have a warped concept of God.
Yes.
A warped concept of the character of God, of His principles of government. Somebody that believes that is biblically illiterate. Well, let's see, God twists everything up and in and He finally decides to straighten out His own plumb line. Somebody must have been playing with God's tools, got them all tangled up, so He's got to start from arrogance, presumption. Let's make God's plumb line straighter. Anyone who thinks they can make that line straighter, they can increase the verticalness of the plumb, that thinks they can present a truer truth, utter idiots. Utter morons. And it's even worse when they won't be taught. They won't hear of it. No, we believe this since the devil taught it to you, I suppose. By thinking to make it straighter, you know what they do? They reveal themselves as corrupt and crooked.
Yes.
That's all they do. Because they think that it's not straight. They need to make it straighter. What does that mean? That means they're standing at an angle.
Yes.
Here, let me get now it's straight. It just reveals their own corruptness. But the Word of God is a straight plumb line.
Amen.
You know, a plumb line like this, what it does is it points to the gravitational center.
Yes.
Of the earth. Gravitational center of the body. You grab this, the gravity grabs it and pulls it straight. The Word of God does the same thing. Points to the gravitational center, the spiritual, the righteous center of the universe. It points to Christ. And our responsibility in Christ He is the plumb line. He is the Word made flesh. He's not going to change His own plumb line. Christ didn't come to make the straight crooked. What did He do? He come to straighten out their plumb line. No, you've got it wrong, Pharisees. You've got it wrong, Israel. This is the plumb line.
Yes.
What's that you're holding? It's like a bent up piece of wire. He's the plumb line, and we must conform to His image. And here's a very important point. There's one plumb line. There's not two. There's not many. There's not a plumb line for the Old Testament prophets and patriarchs. There's not another plumb line for the New Testament saints. There's not another plumb line for sinners and another plumb line for those that have never heard. There's one plumb line.
Yeah, right.
It's one Word. One Gospel. One truth. One Lord. This is hard for some people to get. I don't understand. One plumb line. And with that one plumb line, not two, not three, not more, we can be assured that justice will avail.
Yes.
Justice will be assured. The line will hold. Because God, who is unchanging, holds the line. We can be assured that that line will not change either.
That's right.
God's unchanging. The psalmist declared that God had promised to preserve His words forever. That line's going to be preserved forever. There's no tweaking it. There's no changing it. There's no diverting it. It's the straight line. It's the plumb line of God. It's not going to change. Isaiah said, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." A crooked line can't do that. You never know which way it's going to go. Look at the false religions. Look at something like Islam. Such a capricious God that they have. They don't know what He's going to do. Who knows what's going to happen next? Not Jehovah. Not Jesus Christ. We know exactly what His plumb line is. He's given us His Word and He's never changed. And He's not going to change it. He's not going to change a plumb line. He's not going to move it over here. He's not going to switch destinations. We have an assurity. That is the plumb line. You know, but some people get the idea that God changed somewhere between Malachi 4:6 and Matthew 1:1. I don't get it. Well, God changed. God's Word will be vindicated. I can promise you that.
Yes.
All of it. Every single word.
Amen.
From in the beginning to the very end. The whole book. Every word of God will be vindicated. God has established His ways and the plumb line is set. It's fixed. And it's not only the standard of righteousness, but also that whereby God metes out judgment. We've got this plumb line here. That tells us what's exactly straight. It tells us what's crooked too. And God's judgment will be meted out to the crooked. I can promise you that.
Yes.
The plumb line is set. He said, "Behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore." It's set. No other standard will do. Nothing will change the straightness of God's plumb line. It's straight. No amount of manipulation is going to alter the law of physics. No amount of manipulation is going to alter gravity. All things left as they are, that line's going to be straight. Redefining these laws, it's not going to alter the straightness of that line. You can call it, change it, whatever you want to do. All things left as they are, that line is not going to change. God's Word is immutable. It's unchangeable. No amount of manipulation will alter God's standards of righteousness and judgment. He's not going to hear from you. He's not going to hear from the guy down the street. He has said it and it will stand. That's all there is to it. People want to change it. Oh, how moronic is that? to think that this God is going to bow before you? Give me a break!
Yeah.
Oh God, no, that's too straight. I think we need to make an adjustment. Oh, okay, Jeff, go ahead. Whatever you think. Oh. Yeah, that sounds so foolish, but there are people that believe that. They're not going to say it like that. That's too obvious. People live like that daily, every single day. You can live like that and sit in here with us. Do you know that? Well, if I tweak it just a little bit, maybe they won't notice. Still pointing in the same direction. Still really close to where it was, pointing down at the ground there. Really close. I've had arrogant people tell me, essentially, that, well, it doesn't matter. If I land over here, I'll just take a walk over. No, that's not going to happen. Where the tree falls, boom, that's it. Don't be so arrogant. I had a guy I knew in high school, when I started preaching to him, told me, I don't need to do all that. If Jesus comes back and it's God, I'll repent real quick. I said, you are an utter fool. The skies open up and Christ comes out and calls forth for His chosen, and you say you're going to repent real quick? Not only is that stupid, but it also flies in the face of God's holiness and righteousness and judgment and truth.
Right.
Going to repent real quick. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Redefining biblical terms does not affect their true meaning.
That's right.
Right.
You know, that's one of the first things I found out after I got born again. I started reading my Bible. I love the Word so much. I was storming through it and reading it and talking to the people in the church we were going to. Well, we need to live righteous. Yeah, we need, that's great, all right. And I stand back and I look and I'm like, what, wait a minute. It's one of the first things I learned. We were using the same words, but we had completely different definitions. Get the definitions right, according to Scripture. Why do people twist and change the meaning of Scripture? I mean, why even bother? They change it, they twist it, because it's God's plumb line of righteousness in belief and in practice. And they simply will not have this man to rule over them.
Right.
No, I'll do it myself. I'm perfectly straight, just as I am. Thank you very much. I don't need any help. I don't need to read that book and I don't need to go to church. I'm just fine. Whether they say it outright or hide it behind some great facade of pompous piety, if they refuse to acknowledge the plumb line and to embrace the straight and narrow, they really think they're just fine as they are. The epitome of self-righteousness. That is what self-righteousness is. I'm fine without God. Really. I'm fine in my sinful state. I'm fine because Jesus' obedience and righteousness will be imputed to me. I'm fine because when God looks at me, He just sees Jesus. Epitome of self-righteousness.
Yes.
Right there. Truth is not relative. Okay, there's one truth. By definition, there's one truth. There can't be two opposing viewpoints that are true. It's impossible. It defies the terms of logic. You know, in carpentry, you would say something is true when it's even or symmetrical or level or plumb. You've used that term? That's true. I've heard it. I don't know if I've ever used it, but I've heard that term before. If it's exact in formation or position or adjustment to the structure, then it's true. Obviously, the tolerances in construction are not as tight as this straight line that we're talking about here. Truth is what we're talking about here. Truth personified in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, That's what we're talking about. This plumb line. The truth. No variance. Even if it's out of level just a little bit. Just slightly. It's not true anymore. Because God is no respecter of persons, neither is the truth.
Right.
Truth's not going to bow down to somebody else just because, well, their circumstances or who they were or they had a bunch of money or they didn't have enough money or whatever. The truth's not going to bow down before you. I'm sorry. Truth does not vary according to individual taste. The line's either straight or it's crooked. As I said, by the definition of the word, there is only one truth. Can only be one truth. If it's true that 2 + 2 = 4, then any other sum must be false. Even if it's 4.0001. False! Not true! Any alteration to the verticality of the line makes it no longer plumb or true. We could change just a little bit. We don't have to be really explicit in our theological definitions and practices, do we? We can make little exceptions. Not when it applies to doctrinal truth.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right.
You don't have differences of opinion on your tastes, what kind of dessert you like or what your favorite color is? I don't care. Couldn't care less. Not doctrine. Not Bible. Not truth. That line is straight. No variance. And the good thing about it is, as we said, it's immutable. There will be no revisions. No changes to it. And God will not make concessions for man's clever little manipulations of His standards. Because there's a lot of them out there. If you just take a step back and look at Christendom today, oh, at the clever manipulations of God's Word. Some not so clever. But God has established His Word. He has set the standard on a rock and a foundation that is unshakable and unmovable. He doesn't need to revisit the plumb line just to make sure it's straight. Well, let me go through the Word. Let me see. Let me check back in Deuteronomy there. I think it got a little crooked back there. He doesn't need to do that. It's straight. It's not going to change. It's not going to move.
Man.
He will not revisit the plumb line to make sure it's straight. It is straight. It is true. Every word of it. Straight down the line. All of it.
Amen.
I will not pass. I will not again pass by them anymore, He said. No more forbearance. It's time to root out, pull down, destroy, to throw down the error and the corruption. That's what the line's for. Root out the error. Throw out the corruption. Get it out. Conform to the line. And this judgment is just. The truth is vindicated. The plumb line unmoved. Even in the face of certain destruction. Even in the face of certain destruction. Because God's Word will not change, men choose to ignore the plumb line. Because God's not going to change to fit me, I'm going to change it for Him. Oh. Also, Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go! And get out of here. Flee away into the land of Judah and eat their bread and prophesy there. Prophesy not again here in Bethel. This is the king's chapel. This is the king's court. You know, closing your eyes does not alter reality.
Right.
You can stand in the middle of a busy highway and close your eyes and imagine that the sound coming towards you is not of semi. It's not going to change the results. And just because you're blind or choose to be blind doesn't mean everybody else is. Oh, thou seer, go. Cover up my eyes. Don't tell me. Reminds me of those monkeys. Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no. Because I don't want to know anything. Jesus said, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Who wouldn't want that? Think about the corruption of a heart that tells that. No. Your line's too straight. They don't want it. They don't want it. How sad. They don't want it. Get away from me. I don't want to hear. Don't know. Don't tell me anything. Go preach to somebody else. How many times have I heard that? Why don't you go over there? Then they need it more than we do. Oh, really? Is that a fact? You've just proven the opposite. How about this? We're all here. Now I'm good. Now I'm good. Hey, let me talk to you about Jesus. Now I'm good. This is the king's court. This is the king's chapel. Come on. Who are you talking to? Go back to Judah. Talk to them. We're good. And all on a beeline for hell. Because they refuse to embrace the plumb line.
Right.
Because they want to tweak the truth just a little. Let's just adjust this plumb line to fit my crookedness and everything will be fine. How many people in Christendom do that? Oh, the docket would be full, wouldn't it?
Yes.
In the day of God's court, the docket is going to be full of people with that accusation right there. Just let me tweak the plumb line a little bit to fit my crookedness and everything will be fine. Come on, God. Don't be such a hard taskmaster. That straight line will reveal crookedness every time.
Yes.
You know what? I've seen 2x4s. I know y'all have too. That you can put up there. And it's exactly in the spot at the top and exactly in the spot at the bottom. But that board warps like this. Is it straight? No. It's just trying to meet the same ends. It's not going to work. Unless you do something to straighten up that board. If it's warped that bad, just get it out. Fix it. Do something. But the plumb line reveals the warp. The plumb line reveals the crookedness. The plumb line decides. Okay, that can't be fixed. Tear it down and throw it out. The refusal to embrace and accept the truth does not change it. It does not make it go away. I don't want to believe that. Okay, so what? Stand in the middle of the road with your eyes closed and scream, "I don't want to believe I'm being back truck." I don't care. You're going to die. Not willing to accept the truth is not going to change the truth.
That's right.
It's not going to make it go away. It's not going to disappear and vaporize and say, oh well, we couldn't get in. Men's reactions to the plumb line reveals them as righteous or wicked.
Right.
It's going to reveal straight. It's going to reveal crooked. That's what the plumb line does. That's what it's for. And wicked men are revealed for who they are. Because wicked people reject the plumb line. You know what? There are a lot of wicked people that, oh yeah, I love the morality of that plumb line. That plumb line sure is straight. But you know what? I like most of it, but I don't like this part right here. Let's just pull this way. Man, you messed up. You messed up. You're not going to change God. Trying to shove the Bible into their box. Adjust it to their standards. And when you have a messenger that knows what he's talking about and demands that that line be straight, ha-ha! World War III. They despise messengers who dare to come up to them and say, excuse me, but did you know that your line's not straight? What? Don't tell me that. How insulting. Huh. Am I therefore your enemy because I tell you the truth? You should embrace that. You should love that. Excuse me, your line's not straight. Oh, thank you. Let me straighten that out. Is that the proper reaction? That's a righteous reaction. That's what that is. Amen. And wicked men go, who are you? I'm somebody that sees that your line's crooked. People become incensed when they're shown this plumb line. So they try to readjust it. They try to redefine straight. They try... You know, they always vilify the messenger. Always. Always vilifying the messenger and those who strive to embrace and live up and walk according to the line that's in God's hand. They always will. We read this morning 1 Peter in chapter 3. It says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. They should be ashamed. Accusing us of evildoing? They accuse the line of being crooked. God's line's crooked. And they always have an agenda. They want to save their own life. They try as though to convince God that His line's too straight. What did Amaziah tell Jeroboam? The land is not able to bear His words. Line's too straight. Listen to this guy.
Yeah.
So they tear down God's standards. They tear down the standards of morality, of perfection. They just don't like that plumb line. It's too restrictive. It's too straight. Or it's not straight enough, I guess, depending on who you ask. And so all in all, what they're doing is they're trying to sanctify their own sin and pull God's plumb line in their crookedness along with them.
Right.
Pull it over here just a little bit. No big deal. You know, after all, you know, no matter how hard we try, we'll always be crooked. What are the implications of that, you think? They suppose that by adjusting the line to match their crookedness, it will somehow allay God's judgment. Let me just put it all. Well, He knows me. He knows who I am. He knows what I am. One person told me at a campus one time, I think God sometimes just looks down at me and laughs. I'm like, oh my. Oh. I said, you know what you need to do? Go get you a Strong's and search out every time God laughed. That's what you need to do. It's not pretty. They think by adjusting this line to match their own crookedness that, you know, God will think it's good enough. Oh, well, it's good enough. Not when men try to adjust their crookedness to fit God's straight line. That's when God says, yes, well pleased. Good job, my faithful servant. Do everything you can to conform to the straightness of that line. But when I go over to that line and I grab it and I pull it over here with me, God's not going to think that's enough. After all, the line's just there to prove we can't be straight, right? Isn't that what the line's for? Just to prove that we can't be straight. In reality, it's there to establish that everything that is crooked is condemned to condemnation and desolation and being demolished. Because that's part of what Amos is talking about here. God's holding forth this line on the wall, and everything that doesn't line up with it, He's going to utterly demolish. And these men just continue in their way. Just continue in their way. And in the end, when they finally meet up with that plumb line and realize, oh my, what have I done? It's too late. It's too late. Paul wrote Timothy and said, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." There's a subtle implication here. That while those who cling to truth will inevitably be ostracized and belittled and persecuted for their adherence to the straight and narrow way, the wicked, the crooked, will continue to divert the truth and adjust the plumb line, taking others down with them, taking others down that path of deception and destruction. Very rarely does a man, wicked man, walk that way alone. He tweaks that line and pulls others with him. Are any of us tugging at that plumb line today? You want to hold the line in your own hand? You want to snatch the line out of God's hand without Him handing it to you? Because God does hand it to people. We're going to get to that. God hands it to some men. It says, hold fast that line on the wall. Make sure it's straight. You want to take that? Utter destruction. Try to take that line out of God's hand without Him giving it to you. You're in trouble. Utter destruction. Now therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in the polluted land. And Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. And still, I don't want to hear it! Do you understand the implications of not walking according to the line? Do you understand the implications of walking crooked? I don't want to hear it! You know, there are two ends of that same crooked stick. It's really the same accusation. I'm straight enough. Well, there's no way we can be straight enough. It's really the same thing. Just two ends of the same accusation.
Right.
Well, I'm straight enough. There's no way we can be straight enough. You know, it reminds me of the other day, or last time with Brother Mark, used that scripture in Micah. Will the Lord be pleased with 10,000s of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn my transgression, for my transgression the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He can't be pleased. We'll never be straight enough. We can't do anything right. Morbid way of looking at things. It's just the accusation that God's unreasonable.
Yes.
I know what the line is, but I'm straight enough. God's unreasonable to ask me to get, you know, straight with that thing. We'll never be straight enough. The line's too straight. Who thinks they're too holy? Who thinks we can be holier? Who thinks we can walk closer to the line? Amen. God isn't asking too much. He is only asking me to do that which I desire to do. Will I ever get there? I'm where I need to be today. And I'm looking to increase tomorrow. The line's not too straight. I'm too crooked. But men continually, because of these accusations, try to remove the reference line. No more line. Just move it out of the way. Or make their own line. or decide their own ways, doing that which is right in their own eyes. You know, the standard becomes arbitrary. That's why people walk around and go, well, what's true for you might not be true for him. You know how stupid that is? You hear it all the time. Well, we'll have to agree to disagree. No, we won't. I ain't agreeing to such a foolish statement. We're not going to do that. The standard is set. It is firm. It is fixed. It's not arbitrary.
Right.
You don't just run off believing what you want to believe, think you're going to make it to heaven when you're flying in the face of the law of God and walking as crooked as you can, as far away from the line as you can get. What kind of people think that way? Sadly, most of them. Mm-hmm. Arbitrariness. Just whatever I think. I'm just being led by the Spirit. Which one? Self-righteousness. Just as I am. I'm good enough. I can draw as straight a line as anybody else, right? In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There was no standard bearer of righteousness. No hand to hold the plumb line. If I just did what they wanted, I'll make up my own rules as I go. Utter destruction. Over and over again. Utter destruction. Over and over again. Looks like a sine curve, Israel going through judgment and blessing. The Bible says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Any old fool can think they're right when they don't have a line to go by.
Right.
Or when they draw their own. Look how right I am. Go right along with my line. And thus the means through that is the means whereby men's hearts are given over to perversion. You know, now I'm not talking about gross sin here. I'm simply talking about deviating from the plumb line. Oh, I just perverted straightness. Move the line. That's what you did. Ears become dull of hearing. Deaf to the Word of God. I don't want to hear it. Don't talk to me. Or hearing it and listening to it every day and not letting it penetrate. Same thing. Ears dull of hearing.
Right.
And this is particularly dangerous to those who think that they are being safer than the Word of God. Whatever that means. Make the line straighter. We're being safer. We're being straighter than the line of God. It doesn't matter if you push the plumb line to the left or to the right. It doesn't matter. You're still departing from truth. We don't want to do that. We don't want to change the line. That's one of the things we're most about here. Biblical accuracy. Let's get it right. If there's something we're wrong about, let's straighten it out. That's our desire.
Amen.
It's always been mine. We desire to be conformed into the image of Christ and to be eligible for mercy. In order to do that, we must walk according to the pattern. We must walk according to that which God has laid forth. God has systematically laid out His plan and the procedures to conform to that plan. It's not hard. They're here in the book. And we must walk according to that pattern. We must measure ourselves by the Word of God. We must keep rank. We must submit ourselves into proper godly authority. We must take our place in the church among the wall and line up with the plumb line that's in God's hand. Not be that rebellious little brick that wants to kick itself out a little bit and get out of line with the wall. That's going to show on the plumb line. If we're not part of the wall, if we haven't submitted ourselves to our place in the church, if we resist and tear down and fight against the wall that God has established, guess what? We're crooked.
Right.
There's no question about it. I don't even have to debate it. If I'm out of line with God's plumb line, I'm crooked. It's not that difficult. It's not that hard to understand. And people run to and fro thinking everything's all right in the midst of their rebellion. I'm so pious. We can't be the kind that likes to subvert and usurp authority. We can't do that. Remember, God holds the plumb line. It would be really stupid to try to take it away from Him. There's no question about the straightness of God's Word. The only question is, does our theology, when scrutinized, conform to the straightness of the plumb line? That's the only question. The plumb line's not changing. God hands that plumb line to godly men to make sure that that wall is built properly. You have to earn that. The Bible says that God rejoiced to see Zerubbabel, His master builder, building according to His standard. It says in Zechariah, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth." God rejoiced at seeing Zerubbabel with that line, that plumb line, holding it taut. Let's build according to this. It's going to be built straight. Does He rejoice at the plummet in your hand? Or does He cast a furrowed brow? The Bible says, "In Ezra then rose up Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Jeshua the son of Josadak and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping." The prophets of God were helping, not hindering. Not trying to tear it down. They were building with Him. Ha, Zerubbabel, that's an excellent plumb line you got there. Keeping everything straight. I'm with you. I'm with you, brother. Let's go. Are we going to be like the prophets of God who were helping them? Or Sanballat and Tobiah? The subversiveness of Sanballat and Tobiah just trying to stop any of the building. Trying to stop anything going on. Let us help you. No, thank you. Your plumb line's crooked. We're not going to distort the plumb line. We're not going to change the plumb line. There are many who claim to be followers of Jesus who have altered the path of the line, who are not building according to the pattern. Many, many, many. The plumb line of God's Word standing upon the wall of His church will expose them. They'll be exposed. You're not going to hide your crookedness. Not forever. The Lord stood upon the wall, made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in His hand. What you think God's going to do when Zerubbabel finishes building? He'll stand upon the line. He'll stand upon the wall that was made by the plumb line, with a plumb line in His hand. God's checking. He's watching. The plumb line is to keep the wall straight. Are you out of plumb with the Word of God? Are you out of odds with the wall? Do you have to tug this way or that way to make yourself look straight? Cut off a piece of the string and hold it next to you? There. The book of Isaiah says, "Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. You go ahead and make your own plumb line. You go ahead and make an agreement with death and with hell. It's not going to last. You go ahead and think to walk your own way. To not walk according to the statutes of that plumb line. You see how long your covenant with death and hell holds out. God said, it will be disannulled. I don't care about your plumb line. You don't use mine and you're in trouble. There's no more questions about it. Saints, we need to make sure that we are diligent to walk according to the precepts of righteousness as laid out and determined by His Word.
Amen.
Nothing else.
Amen.
I don't care what the Mennonites say. I don't care what the Baptists say. I don't care what the Methodists say. I don't care what anybody says. If it walks crooked to this book, it's false. It's not true. I don't care what the Calvinists say in their despicable lies and their despicable twistings of the truth. You want to see a crooked plumb line? Go talk to a Calvinist.
Yeah.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to stand before Your people with the awesome responsibility of setting forth Your Word. Give us strength, Lord, to walk in the ways of righteousness for Your name's sake. Father, give us guidance and direction that we can be conformed into the image of Christ, that You might be well pleased with us. In Jesus' name, amen.